just want to introduce, my privilege to introduce my dear friend and our pastor, our preacher this morning, Pastor Mac from Stellenbosch. He is one of the pastors there at the church. And we met Mac because him and his wife are very much involved in the marriage prep. You know, in Stellenbosch, all these students, end of the year, they all get this itch and they want to get married. So Mac and Nodine does this wonderful job of teaching them and warning them of what lies ahead so that they won't make the same mistakes as what we did. And they are really doing a wonderful job. And Delesti and myself, our part is usually the last session of the course where we have to talk about relationships, how to love your mother-in-law, and how to love your wife. So for the past two years, we've been working with them, and it's been such a privilege and a pleasure. And if one thing I can say about my brother is that he is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if I can say that, he walks or dashes in where angels fear to tread. And God is blessing and using him and his wife in a tremendous way. Unfortunately, he just shared with me a bit of sad news about one of our brothers in Stellenbosch, Hopefielder. Gideon Melke, he used to be an elder in the church. Last night, there was an accident, and he ran over his six-year-old daughter with his buggy, and she was killed. So I wonder if we could just turn maybe two together to one another and just pray for the Melk family and ask them that God will just console them, because it doesn't make sense. Humanly, it doesn't make sense. But God will just be with them. Let's just pray together.
This family to you, Father, and Lord, where they woke up this morning and it was like unreal to them and the reality is not there, it's like just cannot be. I pray, Holy Spirit, that they would feel your embrace in a tangible way, that they would see themselves hugged by you, placed on your lap, squeezed tightly to your chest, Father, as you alone can encourage and strengthen, lift them up and console them, Father. You alone are able. We worship you, we glorify you, we magnify you, we exalt you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. The man that did the announcements, I just saw him run out. Can someone just get him to come back? I have a word for him. This morning we're going to speak about heart. The offering. The offering. This morning we're going to speak, the message is entitled The Heart. And how many of you have heard of the band called Korn? Okay, now you give yourself away, hey? Well, the band leader, Brian Welsh, he got radically saved. You know that, the Korn lovers or the ex-Korn lovers. Hopefully you're not Korn lovers anymore. But it's a heavy metal band that sings songs that encourage young people, everybody, to take part in sexual orgies, in drugs, and do everything that which is wrong. That's the lyrics in their songs. They promote that, they push that, And Brian Welsh's testimony is he's covered with tattoos. I think his tattoos end here, right over his body, all over the show. And his testimony is that his wife left them. She's also a drug addict, left him and his little daughter. And he was in a situation where he had to look after his child on his own. He was so upset with his wife just leaving them, and he would every day take drugs. And till one day he heard his little daughter, I presume she was 5-6 years old, singing one of his lyrics of his song, where she's saying, you know, I want to take drugs, I want to, I want to get into the detail of the song. It's horrific that people would sing that, but obviously they do. So, and it jolted him, and he realized, my goodness, how can I be a father, a responsible, loving father, and my daughter seeing this at the age of 5 and 6? And this really bothered him, and he really wrestled with this, and he tried to stop taking drugs. He tried to change his ways. It didn't work. He would fall back into it. And he was in a business with estate agents that would buy a property, and he was investing in property at that stage. And he mentioned this to one of his property agents, and the agent gave him a scripture and just said, go read this. Matthew 11 verse 28, come to me all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. And he never believed in God. Atheist, agnostic, doesn't really care. And he just thought, but this is a very strange scripture. And he said, well, I don't know who Jesus is, so, you know, if you can help me, help me. You know, I don't know what to do, but I'm very concerned about my daughter and the way she's growing up with my bad influence on her. And so this real estate agent said, don't you want to come with us to church? And he got radically saved in that church. He said, we know the story. I mean, I've heard this so often. He just said something lifted him up off the chair and walked him right to the front, where he fell on his knees and he wept before God and repented and acknowledged Christ as Lord and left the band. He left the band, left the hundreds of millions of dollars he was earning, just left it all, said, I have nothing to do with that. I sever with this. And today he has a very, very powerful testimony. The point that I'd like us to notice here is that she was very innocent and she was being exposed to wrong things in her life. The thing is, and it's interesting, we had to pray now for a child that passed away, but we all started off innocent. We all started off quite pure, except for the sin of Adam and Eve that we're born with. Outside of that, we started, and a sinful nature, but we started off as a blank database or an empty hard drive as a little child. And this child started off like this, and he could see the pollution that she was drinking and eating from him, and he could not dare to carry on that way. But the question we have to ask ourselves, why did we spoil in so many ways as adults? And I stand right in the front of the queue. Somewhere, there's some areas of our innocence, our purity, that got spoilt as we grew up. We became sophisticated. We became aware of things, position, status, material things. And the opinion of others became very, or has become very important to some of us. Now, I know Christianity is busy emptying some of that stuff. But this morning's message is to challenge us regarding this area. Matthew 18 verses 6 to 7 says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses come. And obviously, without even knowing the scripture, Brian Welsh realized he could not be an offense to his own child. He could not cause his own child. And this first part of Matthew 18 clearly compares the life of a child and the thinking of the child, the understanding of the child, the way of a child to our spiritual journey. It compares it to the way God wants us to think, understand, perceive, realize things. It compares the life of a child to how we should absorb, see, understand God, relationship with Him, etc., etc. And so, let's focus a bit on the first four verses. And they say the following. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to Him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Would you agree we've lost a lot of our childlikeness? Yeah, so we need to go back to that. We need to say, "Lord, open up the secrets of what it means to be a child. How to see things." And you know what? It's in all of us. You've not lost it. It's just buried far away. You need to go reconnect with who you were and how you perceived, understood things when you were a child. And you know what? We have such amazing examples all around us. Look at the children. Look at this beautiful family that sat in front with three little daughters, and the mommy's pregnant with a fourth child. Isn't that a blessing? Wow. Praise God. This church is growing exponentially. Praise the Lord. So we must return to that place. Now, if we look at these verses, I'd like to tackle this from three different angles. The first is to tackle it from the angle to return to be like a child in essence. Then, a child in action. How can we be childlike in our actions? How can we be childlike in our essence? How can we be childlike towards God? Let's talk about child in essence. Now, I'd like to ask this crowd, what characterizes it? Give me one word that when you think of a child, this word typifies a child. Anyone? Innocence, first word, yes. Curious, yes. Beautiful, I haven't even got... Honest. Bold, yes. Love that. Fun. Say again? Fun, full of fun. Fun loving, yes. Loving. Caring. Guys, we must go back to that stuff. Yes. Easily amazed, wondered, quick, easily wondered, wowed by the silliest little, but are they silliest little things? Astonished by a butterfly. Have you seen a little kid look at a butterfly? Like transfixed at this little butterfly. When last have you and I been transfixed by a butterfly? Noticed. Creation. Noticed our God in everything around us. Transfixed by the power, the life we have. Return back to the basics of being like a child. Okay, you've mentioned all the powerful things about the essence of a child. Innocence, purity, blatant honesty, caring, bold, etc., etc. It's amazing when a child says a certain thing that's blatantly honest, it confronts us. We arrest it because we actually forget we think that already, but we never say it. And sometimes we've even outgrown thinking that which a child is saying. We've fallen into such a rut of being adult-like. Now, when a child says something that arrests you, you either embrace it and you appreciate the child, or you're irritated by it. I've been guilty of being irritated sometimes by what the innocence of a child says. Now, Christ challenges us and says we should aspire to, through our innocence, purity, arrest whomever we meet or rub shoulders with as a child. Look, we're trying to find out now, what does it mean to be childlike as adults? Because who wants to inherit the kingdom of God? We must become like children. That's the qualification. So, a child will say something in innocence. In their essence, they say something with such purity, such honesty, and it arrests whoever is confronted with this, with a statement. And you are confronted to make a decision. Do you take it for what it is, or do you reject it? Now, we want to become like children. We have to start operating like that, with that honesty, that sincerity, that purity, and make statements that necessarily might not be polite, because we may not consider the repercussions of that statement. Because does a child consider the repercussions of their honest, innocent statement? But it brings about change. It brings about confrontation that is needed. It exposes a dark spot that everybody chooses to ignore and not to focus on. With a godly inherent innocence of a face value and a heart that's pure. Have you met adults that you see and know, this guy is so pure in heart? And when they say something that might seem out of place, you just take it because it's just meant with no maliciousness. But it's uncomfortable what they say. Child in essence. Charles Finney, I don't know how many of you know of him, have heard of him, was a great evangelist, great son of man of God. And the stories go that he would get onto a train and just, often he'd get onto trains and buses and preach the gospel, but often he would just get on the train and say nothing and just pray quietly in one corner. And about 5, 10, 15 minutes into the journey, many of the people in the bus or train coach would get up and fall on their knees weeping uncontrollably by him and saying, please show us the way to salvation. We are so convicted of our wrong deeds, of our sin. And he would have the privilege of leading them to Christ. So he carried that childlike anointing, that innocence, that purity, and God's anointing upon him drew people to just say, this guy has got the answer for my problems. The anointing of God was so heavy upon him. Child in essence. Let's look at a child in actions. I would say one of the most powerful instruments that God uses in our lives and in a child are words. We touched a bit on it now, but when a child says something, there's no ulterior motive. There's no dig and no stab in those words. Can a 3-4-year-old stab you with their words? Do they have maliciousness in their hearts? What you see is what you get. It's honesty, it's purity. There's no cruelty and ugliness, no nastiness in their words, in their actions through their words. And often as adults, we can use words to stab, to be nasty, to be cruel, to be hurtful, to be malicious. As we say, children often say things that are inappropriate in the adult world. But they don't say it with harm or ridicule intended. They just say it as it is. We watched this movie a while ago, and it's about this very wealthy family that went to go visit this log cabin in the mountains in the USA. And this father's a workaholic. His family never sees him. His wife feels very neglected by him. His children feel neglected, and he's just aspiring to make money, to be successful. He's a building contractor, and he's now built this log cabin perfect, has all the wells and whistles and bells, like Johnny Bell. Sorry, I couldn't help that. So they had all the whistles and bells, and they arrive at this place. It's covered with snow. It's ice cold, and they're hardly talking to one another. The mother's upset with the father because She's not even recognizing the beauty of the log home that he built for them, because she says, I never see you. We have nothing of you. You're on your own planet. You don't really show us that you care for us as people. So this family, and the older brother is nailing the younger sisters. He criticizes them, and there's fighting between the kids and the father and the mother, and there's no peace and joy and love in this family really. And the smallest little girl, I think she's about 6 years old, she's like constantly innocently coming and asking for attention, and you can see she's hurting a lot by what's going on around her. Also, that's another aspect of being childlike. You're very vulnerable. Child is very vulnerable. So she's vulnerable to a situation, and the storm is at its peak. And the next minute they see this family knock on the door, a father and mother and two kids, and they have to get out of their car away from the storm because trees are falling over. It's really bad. And they, can you please just give us shelter? And they said, yes, come in. And this family is the exact opposite of the family whose home it is. They, the wife and the husband, love each other. They show it. They care. They consider it. Even the teenage boy respects his teenage sister, and they speak with fondness, with kindness, with love, with beauty. And then they will spend Christmas together because nobody else can come. The storm is too bad. So these two families that don't know each other are spending Christmas together because of the storm, the situation. And you can see how the beauty of the one family is confronting the ugliness of the other family. Innocently, not meant, not on purpose. This truth highlighting the deception, the falseness, the lies. And they're sitting around a Christmas table, and the family, let's call them the Christian family, although not all Christian families, the family who have it together, say, we have a Christmas tradition. We pass around a candle, and then when we get the candle, we say thanks for something we appreciate. And so all get a turn, and this little six-year-old gets the candle, and she says, thank you. I want to say thank you that we have a family that really loves each other to show us how to love each other. Bah! Did she have malicious intent? She was just being pure and honest in her actions as a child. Ask the Lord to make you like children again. Our hearts, we have to surrender so that we can speak the truth with no ill intent. So we speak about words of a child in action. Now let's think about the next aspect. I'm going to mention it now. It's all about children in action, or being a child in action. On a playground, have you watched children on a playground? And then at one stage, the one bumps the other one, and he gets a knock back, and then there's a fight, and they're wrestling, and they're brawling, and they're screaming and crying. And then they walk away from each other, and a minute later, they're playing with each other as if nothing has happened. Have you seen that? They bear no grudge. And that brings me to the next point about being a child in action. They give forgiveness without having repentance. I don't think it's that biblical to demand a sorry. It's biblical to forgive 7 times 70 a day. I'm not saying sorry is wrong. God says, repent to me, yes. And if you see your brother has got something against you, go and make right. I'm not saying. But it seems like there's a greater emphasis when we compare ourselves to children and in the scripture that we must give forgiveness like children. 7 times 70. Without expecting a sorry. The child doesn't say sorry. They just give forgiveness and play as if nothing has happened. We've seen it over and over again before us. Just give out forgiveness without expecting an apology. This love children have for one another. And this love is contagious. So easy for them just to turn the other cheek. And that's what it means. Just give forgiveness, give love. Let's think about the next action of a child. We spoke about words. We speak about giving forgiveness. The next one is emotions. Children bear the emotions on their sleeves. Kids generally don't have masks. They don't cover. They don't hold back. And this is going to be hard, because now if we say to ourselves, okay, just release your emotions, we'll fall into the sin of no self-control. But I think we have too much self-control. We are too little childlike with our emotions. I think if we look at the pendulum, we're on that side as adults. A child bears the emotions. If you visited with an adult and they like overshare, some of that oversharing isn't oversharing, it's being childlike. Would you agree with me? A child just bears the emotions on their sleeves. They just say it as it is. They talk. Tears flow easily, but they do not bear grudges. Child cannot stay angry for long. They quickly release forgiveness. They quickly pour out their emotions. And because we hold back and we keep it back and we are adults and not like children, we sit with physical disease and ailments and issues in our lives and bodies. Because we hold back and we control that which is not meant to be controlled. If Christ was controlled, he would not sweat blood. He would not say, my God, why have you forsaken me? If he was so controlled of his emotions, he would not turn the temple upside down. There's a place to be childlike and to say, I'm hurting now. I'm so upset. I don't know what to do. Children have got no masks. They don't put up a front. They don't make as if everything is hunky-dory. They fight and they make peace quickly. And they have a good fight and they sort it out and they forgive 7 times 70 and they carry on with their lives. They're truthful about their emotions. Some adults are irritated with children's truthfulness. When we as adults have masks, and we somehow have artificial lives and we have a plastic veneer and a false front, if we carry on too long with that, we lose contact with our own feelings and emotions. And if we lose contact with our own feelings and emotions, we lose perspective. And when you lose perspective, you're on the brink of self-destruction. That's where self-deception is busy taking over your life. You're not being honest with who you are and what you are, the state that you're at, that you can say, God, I really am struggling in this area. Help me. But when you lose contact with who you are and what you are, you've so lived in such a mask-covered life, you can't own up even when the Holy Spirit is putting his finger on something in your life that has to become more childlike. You ignore it. You try to push it away because I'm okay. And whenever we come to a place, and whenever I come to a place where I think I'm okay, I'm in a very dangerous place. I'm being self-deceived. Must be in a place where I say, Lord, in you I'm okay, but I know you have to help me in many areas still in my life. And I'm willing to own up to those things in my life that do not please you, that do not give you glory. I don't want any of us to self-destruct because of falseness, because of lies we believe, because we're not in contact with our emotions. To be like a child is to own up to your emotions and to really sometimes overshare. Because children overshare. But is it overshare? From whose perspective is it overshare? He wants us to be like children, to be more honest, forthright about our emotions, without stabbing, without losing control. You can bear your emotions without losing control. That fruit of the Spirit, without stabbing. A friend of mine shared this story. His son is 15, 16 years old, and his son in these teenage years started becoming very critical about things around him. I know teenagers get into that phase. I have a teenager in my house. And And unfortunately, a lot of them becoming critical has the blame at our feet, mine as a father. God alone can help us with that one. But at least we also give a lot of good, not only bad. So God will have to help our children to discern between the good and the bad. Because we are also sinful. So in any case, he's talking to his child, and his child is complaining about this and that, and that's not right. And he said, "My son, stop. When you were 5, 6, 7 years, 8 years old, that didn't bother you. God expects of you to be like you were then, to remain like a child, to not be critical, to not accuse, to not point the finger, but to love and to see why people behave the way they do. There's always a reason for their wrong behavior. And to have understanding and compassion for where they're at. And the amount of grace that God gives you as a teenager, God expects you to give it out to others. To afford others grace as God affords you grace. A child responds to devoted attention and care and reciprocates this attention and care. You notice that? And it brings us to the next aspect of emotions. A child gives genuine love when they receive genuine love. But it's amazing how a child knows when it's not genuine love. You know, when somebody comes across a child and, "Hello, how are you, little boy?" You know, and it's like a mask trying to penetrate the hearts of the child. The child looks at the man and just walks off. You notice that? Has it happened to any of you? Was your love genuine? I doubt it was. Because if it was and you persisted, that child would, with an honest heart, notice honesty and be drawn to you like a magnet. Because you've borne your heart, you've bared your heart, you've exposed the purity that is in you. You need to return to it. You need to say, "Lord, help me to release it." So a child really gives genuine love, and they respond to genuine love. Let's look at the next aspect. We've spoken now about a child in action. Let's look at a child towards God. Much can be said in this regard. We will only highlight a few aspects. We cannot highlight everything in our childlikeness towards God. Next statement. With a parent, a child expects all, trusts all, believes all. And that brings me to the key word, expectation. If we are childlike in our relationship with God, we must expect all, trust all, believe all from my Heavenly Father. And I know it's not easy, but you know, isn't that one of the things of a child? If you tell a child, "Tomorrow we're going to have ice cream," they will not stop reminding you about that ice cream. They don't doubt that you're going to buy them ice cream. They believe it wholeheartedly. And they'll nag until we go. And they'll expect it now, even though you said tomorrow. Because they believe all. They expect all. And they trust all. Now, for us to return to be childlike, God says, become like that in your relationship with me, in your understanding of me. And regarding this, when I was a missionary, I started wrestling with the aspect of God's love. So I was saying, "Lord, I need to really expect everything from you because I am founded in your love. But unless I understand and taste your love, how can I believe or trust or expect all?" Have you ever sat with that challenge? It's easy to believe, trust, expect from someone you have an intimate relationship with. It's very hard to believe, expect, and trust someone with whom you have a distant relationship. But when you're intimate with someone and you know their yes is yes and their no is no, then you can trust and believe and expect all, especially if they're God. So part of getting to that place is, "Lord, I know up here you love me, but in here, I doubt. not so sure that you truly love me, that you truly are on my side. I know there's a lot of scriptures and I've read them, and but I mean, this distance is sometimes further than around the globe. For it to go from year to year can take years, a lot of wrestling. So I said, Lord, show me your love. Let me understand your love. And I was a missionary at that stage, and we could invite people from outside to have meals on Sundays. They would have a Sunday buffet. And I invited this new couple that I met. They had a little newborn baby, a few weeks old. And I was at that stage, I was running the missions research department, and I was sharing with them a testimony of a Vietnamese guy that went to preach the gospel in a village, and while he's at the village, they reject his message. They're communist and Buddhist, and they beat him up, and they fasten rocks on his legs, and they throw him in the river so that he can drown. But somehow, while he's singing in the water, he sees this yellow light, and he can breathe underneath water, and the river washes him on the riverbank, and he cuts off the ropes. He doesn't drown. He cuts off the rocks, and he walks back to the village where they wanted to kill him, and they are totally horrified and shocked. Has he risen from the dead? And he hasn't, and he can hardly see through his eyes, and he's got the guts to come back to share the gospel with us, and the whole village comes to Christ. Now, I had you at the tip of my fingers now. None of you, I lost none of your attention, am I right? Now, I'm sharing this story with them, and the next minute the baby starts crying, I lose all their attention. I'm talking into the air. They're not interested in what I'm saying. They just focused on this baby. And right there, the Holy Spirit deposits within my heart. That's how I feel about you. You have all my attention. You have all of my focus. You have all of my love. You can believe all, trust all, expect all. You don't have to understand all. We don't understand why that child died. But that child is with Christ. Last night when we were praying with that family, I saw Jesus playing with her. Understand all, believe all, expect all. And the Lord says to me, that is how I feel about you. That's how much I love you as my son. Start getting to know my concern, my care, my love for you, my child. Spoke to a lady last week, and she's from the church we used to pastor in Kempton Park, and her two children, obviously she got divorced, unfortunately, when she was younger. Her husband met another lady, left them, and her little boy and little girl grew up without a father, and then she got married again, and the stepfather really acted as an amazing father, especially for the son that was younger. But both kids grew up in the church, got exposed to the gospel, had some measure of experience, exposure to the gospel. But today, they full-on atheists, both studying. The one is doing a doctorate. And she's praying nonstop for her kids that they would come to Christ. And she said something. She said her son once prayed, and it never happened. And that's why he's lost his trust and faith in God. And that brings us to the next aspect regarding being childlike towards God. God may say no. God can say no. When you say no to a child, can they overturn your no? No is no. And no is good for us. It's for our protection. And often when we bring up children, we don't bring them up to handle a no. They don't want to take no as an answer. Fortunately, the younger generations are getting worse and worse at that. And who's it to blame? Us that bring them up. Spoil them. Just give them their way, their will, all their time. Whatever they want, they do. And if they nag too much, you give in. You're not bringing them up to be a child in the kingdom of God. You bring them up to be a child in the kingdom of darkness. Because God will say no to them if it's for their own good and for his kingdom good. First he puts his kingdom and his name, and then your good. Because your good fits into his good. Your good is servicing his good. And we come to the place where these children are at a place where they say, but God is there for my pleasure. No. We are there for his pleasure. We are there for his service. If we have physical blessings, whatever blessing on this earth, it's a fringe benefit. But that's not the main goal. Our blessing is not the main goal. It's us being used to extend his name, to bless him, to be there for his service, for his pleasure. And many, I believe, today are offended with Christ, and they blame God for things that had to do with the freedom of choice. Not necessarily only their freedom of choice, could be their grandfather's freedom of choice that affects them. But God will set them free from the bad choices of the past. But then they cannot resent and hate God for that. I believe many atheists today are not non-believers. They're just so angry with God, they want to hurt God by saying, I don't believe in you. Somehow they want to get back at God. And so we find this with these two children. So part of being a child is accepting a lack of yes and a wonderful yes, and I'll spoil you, but also a no. Another aspect of being childlike towards God is, and I'm going to describe it in this little story. You get the point now. Can a child wander off too far from its parents before this little life falls apart? Somebody shared a testimony with me. A young man, he's now in his 20s. He said he used to remember when he was a child in a supermarket, he would wander off and just start being transfixed by all the toys and things. And the next minute he can't see his mother, and he said he would go into a panic attack. He'd become frantic and run and look for his mom and then weep nearly uncontrollably because he's lost his mom. That says to us, in our relationship with God, we need to stay close. Want to be like a child? Stay close to your daddy and your mommy. Stay close to the Father. Never be separated. Never have him out of your eye. Like a child never wants to have her parent or his parent out of his eye. Absolute, very dependent on parents, absolute nurturing. So too we should be dependent and stay very close to our Heavenly Father. Dependent on his nurturing. Reliant on him. Never wandering off too far. Always keeping a close eye. Oh, where's God? What's God doing now? What's my Heavenly Father telling me to do now? The Lord, you know, that child was traumatized because he couldn't see his mom. How traumatized are we when we don't spend quiet time one day of the week with the Lord? Are you traumatized? If we're not, we still got a way to become children again. We need to be traumatized if we don't spend nearly every living second of our day, at least in communion with God, talking to our Jesus. As a child, has to be close to the parent. I mean, I saw when the mommy gave the word here, her eyes were on mommy. Mommy's now not close to me, and I'm a bit worried. And then she said, "Bikkie kribbel rag begin raak," and toe vat papa uit. Van ma's weg. Mommy's one side. I want to be with mommy. The umbilical cord is cut, the physical one, but the emotional one isn't cut. The spiritual one isn't cut. And when she becomes an adult, it will be cut to a certain extent, but God says, you may not become adults in my kingdom. Otherwise, you lose it. Stay children. Childlike in your approach, your view, your understanding, your perception, your experience, your digesting of whatever comes your way. Remain a child, my child, so that I can show you the wonders of my kingdom. God wants us to be besotted with Him. We must be unable to live without Him, His closeness, His tangible presence. Next aspect of our relationship with God is the term sponge. That says it all. A child is like an empty hard drive. They just drink and soak up everything from daddy and mommy. They soak up the bad, the wrong, and the good. And monkey see, monkey do. People say to me, "Oh, you laugh like your mother. You walk like your father." I look at my son and I see myself and I think, "Oh, houdung," you know. I used to have some of that houdung. Sponge. And how do we apply that in our relationship with God? Is to soak up, to drink up everything that God wants to give us. Absorb. Learn. Eat and drink what the Lord has for us. And in that learning process, in that being a sponge process of a child, is failure at all a consideration? Think of a child that's learning to walk. Even with a cleft foot. So they have an impediment. Is failure at all a consideration in that child's mind? So what does God want from us? How do we apply it to our walk with Him? Failure is not a consideration. Is giving up a consideration for a child that wants to walk? They persevere, they persist, they carry on carrying on. They do not give up. So if you give up and I give up, we've become too much like adults. A child just doesn't give up. They've seen something and they want it. They're going to go for it no matter what happens. They want to walk like you walk because they don't want you to pick them up anymore and they don't want to crawl to everything. They want to walk. We limit our God, our level of faith. He doesn't limit us. You believe Him for that, He'll meet you at that place. You believe Him for there, He'll meet you there. He'll match. He'll match whatever. It's like these companies say, "Okay, we'll give you half your salary, the other half you earn through commission. We'll match you." And God says, "I'll match you. You believe, I'll meet you there. I'll enable you. But don't believe it for selfish reasons. Believe it for my kingdom, my purposes. Yes, then I'll match you there. The sky's the limit in the way I want to use you and bless you to bless others." So a child does not understand that it cannot. They believe all, they expect all, and they hope for all, and they trust for all. God says, in your relationship with me, be like a child. We need to ask the Lord, "Lord, make me a sponge again of you, for who you are, what you do. Never give up to copy you, follow you, honor you, worship you for your name's sake, for your kingdom's sake." Let's all close our eyes that we can focus on the Lord right now and we don't look around. I'd like us all, if you're able to physically, to go on your knees and just say, "Jesus, I have to return to be childlike again." I have a few answers this morning, but the how-tos you need to show me. That which I need to address, help me to address. Holy Spirit, I so desperately need you. Just whatever is in your heart regarding what you heard this morning, pour out your heart right now. just to finish off. The last point is freedom. A child is free. They dance, they laugh, they spontaneous. If you really want to do a prophetic action this morning of saying, God, I'm committed to become childlike in my behavior, I'd like you to do a few dance steps on the next song. To dance in this passageway here and there and the front, we'll move this away. It's an old charismatic song. Yes, I like some of the old songs. I wish we'd go visit them again. It's called "The River of God Sets My Feet to Dancing." Have you heard it? So we have the recording. The band said they're going to try to tong along in front. They don't have to. They can just dance. We can just do the song. Do we have the words maybe on the screen? Okay. So let's all stand up and throw off our masks, throw off our heavy burdens, and become childlike, and let's dance before the Lord. If you want to make a train, some of you are a bit more free than the others, you make a train, go for it. I just want to pray that this, what you started this morning, or I believe you started a while ago, that will just grow in our lives, Lord, to become more childlike. And I pray, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, that in our quiet times we will dance before you. Dance and sing and worship and become free as you ask us and invite us to be like children in our relationship with you, in our very essence and in our actions towards others, Father. Holy Spirit, I pray for enough anointing from heaven to break the yoke of adulthood, of complexity, of all that stuff that's hindering us from just sitting on your lap. I break that over all of us, all those bondages. We break this morning in Jesus Christ's name. We expose the lies. Yes, Lord. We expose the lies and the deception. We ask by your Holy Spirit, expose it. And let us deal with it radically, Father, so we can become more childlike in you, Father, in intimacy, in all of our being, in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, I pray that you would really churn in our hearts in the hours, the days, and the weeks following that as we become in all what we do like you. In Jesus' name, be glorified, be worshipped, Father. If there are any prayer requests, folks, we are up front. Please come. The rest can go have coffee and tea and dance while you're having coffee and tea without spilling it. But you may spill it because a child spills, all right? Rodé will clean the floor. She doesn't mind.